jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 13 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
Glad, good to see my team have a win on the weekend. I don't think the Cats did, though, mate.
No, we didn't. But my Supercoach team surely crushed it, so I'm pretty happy about that. It's just the two of us on the show this week. I'll just go through the rundown quickly before we move into a personal update. This week, we're going to mostly talk about some underperforming round 13 bye players. A lot of us are facing sort of bye pressure this week, and so the temptation is to move on underperforming premiums like Fife or Sloan in order to get some better scoring on field for the remaining rounds, but also to help actually just field 18 this week. So that's something we're going to look at. And then a few of the trade-in options, people finishing their teams and really looking towards sort of the top scoring options. So we spent a bit of time looking at the value options the last couple of weeks, Mark. We'll look at some of those primo options. So let's do as we do each week by starting off with a personal update. Mark, why don't you kick us off?
Sure, mate. So I sucked pretty badly this week. Couldn't even break 1800 with 1794. I think it was always going to be probably the worst bye week for me. I had a bunch of premiums sitting on the bench. Just nothing really great to talk about. Captains just didn't work out. Ended up having Treloar with the captain on him. I guess a few other premiums were all right, but some of the rookies sucked a fair bit. I am looking forward to this week, though, because I only have three rookies in my team out of a starting 19 before trading. So should have a better round this week. I think I dropped to about 1700th overall. How'd you go, Matt?
Yeah, last week was a good one for me. So I'm definitely light on in the round 12 department. I've got six Geelong players showing my blatant bias there. And they pretty much contribute to my round 12 bye players to some of like 80%, I reckon. Sorry, this upcoming round's a lot tougher for me, but I had a pretty good round. 1951 was my score. Like you, also didn't have the best captaincy with Treloar. I'm sure you would have been tossing up between Doherty and Treloar right at the end there. So missed out on 30 or so points, but still, I'm pretty happy with that score. I mean, that's two rounds in a row that I've moved up the rankings over the bye. So next week, I'm just sort of hoping to hold still. So 1951 pushed me up back into the top 500. I'm ranked at 414th at the moment. But I will have to trade in order to avoid the donut this week. But I've only done sort of three trades throughout the bye so far. So I really have my full allocation to play with this week.
Yeah, I think I'm up to five. So I did three week one, two last week. And there's no even real obvious trades for me this week. So yeah, probably a little bit less than normal.
Yeah, I was surprised because I thought I'd go sort of 3-3 across the first two bye rounds, but just so worked out that with who the options to trade in and the options to trade out, I actually sat on my hands. So I've only used the three so far, Mark. I have a feeling that the trade numbers will even out a little bit after this round, though.
Yeah.
All right, let's quickly go into a group update. So top score for our group, 21-36, that's a pretty incredible score. I mean, I'm hoping that's a league team there because otherwise he's putting us to shame. Andy's captain Barnacles is actually ranked 76 after an absolutely massive showing on the weekend. So into the top 100 with a fantastic score, Mark.
Awesome job. I think Dr. Bones is sitting about seventh at the moment. Good friend of ours, mate.
Yep. And we've got sort of Tyrannosaurus Tex sitting second as well. And I think two more. James and Jamie's team in the top 20 at the moment as well. Those are the people in our super coach group. Okay, so a quick league update before we move on. Our leagues are actually occupying all of the top 11 spots at the moment, which is amazing. Of course, you don't want to celebrate too early across the buys because we could just be sort of underloaded across rounds 11 and 12, Mark, but it's good signs heading into next week, isn't it?
That is just insane to see all the first 11 spots occupied by our leagues. I just can't even fathom that's what's happening.
Yeah. I think we recommended some riskier players this year and they've panned out and in previous years, maybe they haven't so much like a Daniel Rich type. So our community is definitely killing it and we're getting lots of messages of encouragement and thanks for our advice so far this season. So I'm glad it's panning out, Mark.
Yeah, and but like you say, I mean, round 13, I think, is always is going to be the hardest buy round for a lot of teams because there's just so many good premiums that do come from round 13. So it'll be interesting to see what the shakeup is after this week.
Mm. All right, let's move on to the actual show now. So as I mentioned, we will start off by talking about sort of the trade-out targets, the underperforming premiums, and the merits to trading out players like those. These are side swaps we tend to like to avoid, but I suppose if there's a time to do it, Mark, it probably is around a buy to avoid a donut. So we'll start off with this first question here from Shannon Swan. Is Fife a bust if he's not in the top eight mids? Is it time to upgrade him? So if you look at his average across the season so far, absolutely disappointing. He's not even averaging 100 to the buys. In fact, in his last seven rounds, Mark, he's only managed the ton once, and that was 104. There's a couple 99s and a 98 in there.
But... yeah, I think that might be a bit of a misleading line to draw there, mate.
Yeah, but you get the point.
He's under 98 three times this year. So and averaging about 100, it's pretty disappointing. I've got him in Dream Team, and he's been awful in Dream Team, like just really held back my team. That has not lived up to expectations. And I think that some people even talked preseason about not starting him, but I guess everybody did. Because in the last JLT game, I think he scored 160-odd, and everyone thought, oh, Fifey's back. This is going to be awesome. Then manages to post 100 in the first five rounds of the season. Everything looks to be going great. And then you've got to assume that something has happened. I know that he's probably been played a little bit further forward with Mundy and him and Mundy rotating out of that forward line, but there's got to have been an injury there. And there was an article in the paper today that said he had to wear a chest guard on the weekend, that he has had some leg issues as well, some upper leg issues. And you'd think that that's the reason with Fifey. He still is a gun, hasn't lived up to expectations, but yeah, just suffering from a few reasonably significant niggles.
Yeah. In 117,000 teams. So if there's any silver lining, it's the fact that we're all stuck with bloody Nat 5 this year. But I mean, potentially that's an additional reason to trade him out by sort of striking one against the grain and taking a risk. There's definitely opportunities there. My main concern around it is if you're looking to trade out a player like Fife, you'd want one of two things. One, undeniable value, or two, undeniable sort of top scoring must-have potential. I think when Sloan was knocking out, you know, 130s and Bont was knocking him out, even Rockliffe to an extent, you're a little bit more willing to say, well, I'm kind of missing out on a must-have player here. I'll go out on a limb and say, even if Fife does improve and averages 105, 110, I'm not going to get burnt because I'm mitigating the risk by taking a guy who's even a step above that. But the problem is, over the last month, a lot of the players that I sort of had earmarked as, you know, potential must-haves have really dropped off. You know, the Sloanes, the Bonts, the Martins, Ablett. I'm not really seeing sort of undeniable must-have status in anyone except for maybe Dangerfield at the moment, and most of us have him. And then the flip side to that is where do you find value in the midfield? I mean, we haven't had a Jake Lloyd situation in the midfield. So even though people present some value, Fife is also underpriced. So, you know, you're going to have to find the next level of value to make money off a side swap there as well. I'm just struggling to find a trade-in candidate, even though I'm actually pretty open to trading him out.
Okay. Just not knowing what you were going to say, it was quite interesting to hear your thoughts because I was kind of hoping one of us was going to be like, yeah, trade him out, and one of us was going to be keep. I put a poll on Twitter today and it basically went 50-50 from a couple of hundred votes. So obviously a lot of people are going to be trading him out, and I do feel like it's a fork in the road situation as far as our teams go. Like, it is either probably going to work out really well to get rid of him or really badly. Personally, I think that given the information he's been covering an injury and that he's got a week off this week, I think that's a good reason to be keeping him. We've seen Treloar, Beams both come back off a week off or a couple of weeks off and completely dominate. We saw Danger sort of after a few weeks, he just recovered from that chest injury that he had as well. So look, I think that in mid-season you can recover, and hopefully Fifey can. The thing that probably leans me towards considering trading him out is the fact that he's never played 22 games in a season, hasn't played more than not 19 for like the last 6 years. So the good chance that he's going to miss games at some stage. And if you traded him this week, so you get the extra points this week relative to a rookie, I'm guessing, and then he misses one or two later in the year, then all of a sudden it's a pretty big win from trading him, sort of almost no matter what he comes back and averages, unless he's just like dominating completely.
It would have helped if he at least had one big score to spike in price and make it slightly more obvious. I mean, you listed some positives and some negatives there to... So I'm not any closer. Yeah.
I'm almost 100% keeping him just because of some of the reasons that you mentioned, and that's like, who do you go to? So I brought in Bond last week, and that turned out not great, and he has a huge break even again and lost another 30,000. Like, are you spending $30,000 or $40,000 to go to Bond when, like, a week later, they could easily average the same for the rest of the year? Bond has not been in much more convincing form than Fife has.
Yeah.
And so who else are you going to? Like, Dusty is one that stands out to me, but then he stood out at the start of the year and then went on a pretty poor run. A lot of the midfielders that you're talking about, they do seem to be ebbing and flowing this year.
Yeah, look, does it make it a little bit different, Mark, if you are struggling to get 18 on park? So let's say you had 16 players playing before your trades, and so doing two trades would get you up to 18. And the third to trade Fife out might get you to 19, but it pushed potentially a rookie out. So it'd be worth a fair few points there. Does that help mitigate the fact that you're not potentially getting massive value, or you're not 100% confident about the person you're trading in? At least you could potentially net 60 points this week, average across another 10 rounds. That's 6 points in average that you're gaining on by not trading.
That's the reason why people have sort of considering it in the first place, is that you get that leg up. I would think I would consider it a lot more strongly if it was to get me an 18th player rather than a 19th player.
Yeah, I agree with that, Mark. I think a lot of people are facing potentially underpriced rookies in round 13 to trade out, like David Myers or Scherenberg, or maybe you just traded in a Cousins type, or, you know, Luke Ryan, if anyone went early, Lloyd. Yeah, so I don't think there's a huge amount of people cashing in rookies this week either. And there's also not a huge amount of downgrade options. I mean, obviously teams haven't come out, but there doesn't seem to be like a heap of rookie options that will present themselves. And so because of the lack of ability to upgrade, downgrade potentially, a side swap might be, potentially for some people, the only way to realistically get good scores on field this week. In those particular instances, I'd be much more tempted to trade out Fife. So, for example, if you had to trade out three players at 200K just so that you could trade in one premium, you're probably better off trading out Fife than, you know, underwrite rookies.
Yeah, and just be aware of how much of a gamble that is, given Fife's previous scoring history. We've seen what happened with Beams and Chalor, and people traded them out and they've come back firing, and they would be regretting pretty hardcore for the fact that they traded him out.
Yeah, I think the way you described it is probably the most apt, Mark. It is a fork in the road moment in the 2017 season, and unfortunately, I don't think there is a right piece of advice to give, and we don't tend to force that too. So make one.
And that's sorry. Just because I think the results in the community are so close, I didn't really want us to be giving the listeners the same message, because I think that, that's like, you're right, there's no obvious answer here. There's no completely 100% right answer here, and it could go either way, and it is a bit team specific.
All right, Mark, let's move on to talk about a few other trade out targets now, or trade out candidates. And so we can apply a fairly similar logic that we've applied to Fife. And so hopefully we don't have to spend the same sort of length discussing these other two blokes. So Chris Walker-Jones is asking whether or not he should cut Sloan free. He copped some crap for the suggestion a couple of weeks ago from ourselves, but he's still thinking, you know, that probably was the right move to make in hindsight. Is it still the right move at the moment?
So looking at his scores, it's pretty tricky. I think he's had four of the last six under 100, but one of the scores in there is 177. So really hard to get a read there. I guess the thing is that he's worth 600,000, so he's not worth 650 like he was a couple of weeks ago. There's no way I would have been able to trade him after scoring 177, I don't think. Is he someone that you're going to get enough value from? Who are you going to? Is he someone that most people would actually like in their team? Like, most of the year I've been really keen and wished that I had Sloan in my team. So, I don't know. I think that players just have, at the moment, are just having down periods. And Sloan has always been one of those players where he doesn't put together a full season of scores. But will he go on another run this season? Probably more than likely. Even though he's going to face tagging, he is capable of the contested ball and he could still post some decent scores with the tag on him, I think.
Yeah, Sloan's just not a guy I'd trade out. And the reason for that is his ceiling is so high. When he scores 140 plus, and that's evidenced by the fact that he's had 139, 140, 146, 168, and 177 so far this season. Five scores above 139 plus. It's massive. It's massive. I mean, you look at the fact that he's scored 89 and 66 in his last two. His three-round average is still 111 because of that 177. Like, that upside, you really need to consider how much that can really handhold the potential tag games as well. So Fife is one that I'd consider trading. Sloan is definitely not.
Okay.
Next guy, Stephen Ben's asking about Shaw, and he's one that I'm personally extremely frustrated with. Mark, I mean, I know you started with him, so you've dealt with the frustration for a little bit longer, but I mean, Jesus Christ, since I've brought this bloke into my team, God, he's stunk it up, like, really bad. He's averaging 88 for the season, priced at 444,000. Is he still going to be a 95 pluser? Is he a top six chance still, or would you consider sideswapping him?
I don't see him going too much over 95, maybe close to 100. I keep expecting him to come good, but he just hasn't. And with the injuries at the Giants, I've sort of expected him to take on a more significant role and that he would end up going back to his previous scoring, but it doesn't seem likely to happen. And those injured players will filter through at some point. And I just don't think he's playing the same role. Like, you see him more up on the wing, more in that forward line. He's not just that intercept defending marker that he has been in previous years. And I think all his stats are down. So, look, good chance that he doesn't average a whole heap more than he is at the moment.
Agree with that, Mark, but it's hard to side swap, I think. The reason I'd consider side swapping is undeniable value or, again, top end scoring potential. And that's potentially where I see a little bit more of a difference in the back line. Shaw to Lloyd, which is the trade situation Stephen's asking about, is actually, that's like reasonably attractive. Lloyd's at 430 this week, but it'll be at like 390 something next week. So if you can make 50K from a downgrade and Lloyd could even outperform Shaw, you consider it. But even then, it feels quite sidewaysy. But I think the potential to trade upwards in the back line is higher. So Fife to Bont, for example, you flagged that there's potentially, you know, issues with Bont actually outscoring Fife. But, you know, you compare Doherty to Shaw, like, that's a no-brainer. Even Roberton to Shaw, it does feel like a no-brainer. So I think there's, like, enough of an upgrade that you could pick up from a side swap in the back line from Shaw to consider trading him out over Fife.
Yeah, so I think that the real question, though, is do you do Shaw to Lloyd this week? Because I know it's like maybe worth 30 to 50 grand more, but I think if you're going to do it, like, you get those extra points this week on field. So I think you'd almost sacrifice 30 to 50 grand to get those points on field. That seems like you could be swapping one player to another, then they both end up averaging the same. That is something that is definitely within the realms of possibility for my team, but I'm a bit concerned about making a move like that. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I do agree, Mark, in the sense that the points on field could be worth the dollars. And the main reason I'm saying that is because when you look at Lloyd's scoring this season, it's been exceptionally impressive. 84 and 89 are his worst two. Everything else is within the 90 to 110 range. So he's about as consistent as a backline player is really getting at the moment. And that's fair enough because he does get possessions through the midfield as well. So that would probably be the reason why I'd consider a side swap this week is viable, because he's so consistent that I'm relatively confident that he should outscore Shaw based on how they've scored across the first half of the season. Having said that, though, I'd be a lot happier trading up to Doherty or Roberton if I were to make a trade this week than to sideswap to Lloyd. Just because, like, it's so sidewaysy, right? 445
really,
to 440.
Really sideways. Yeah, like, so is the price just the factor there? Because Roberton Lloyd isn't averaging, like, a lot less than Roberton. So is it just the price that makes it feel sideways, or...?
Yeah, exactly, the price. Because I think if you got 45,000 that helped to your next upgrade or helped with your flexibility or whatever, I mean, it's not much money, but, you know, there's still points there. That's still worth, like, you know, 5 points a game, right? 50K. Whereas when you're talking, I'm going to make $5,000. Now, all of a sudden, Lloyd has to outperform Shaw by 10 points a game for the remaining 10 games just to make 100 points, which isn't even an exceptional trade.
Plus the score you get this week.
Yeah, plus the score you get this week, which would presumably be worth about 50 points more if you are struggling to even put 18 on field. So again, I mean, these trades look a lot better when you are absolutely struggling to put 18 on field. If the difference is like putting a 19th on and taking a rookie off, like, well, you know, is the rookie Pickett who's scoring 20, or is the rookie, you know, somebody scoring in the 50s? Because like, even though 50 seems crap, like 90 to 50 is 40 points. It's not a lot that you're gaining there.
I don't want to get too caught up in my team, but just a quick answer, Marcus. For me, I think if I'm going to get Lloyd, it's basically short to Lloyd this week, or Lloyd doesn't come into my team at all, because I'm going to actually target Laird instead. In that sense, and he would be my 20th player this week, so is that something you would do?
No. If I was keen on, you know, Robertson, Laird, Doherty instead, I think I'd go down that track instead of Lloyd this week.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
I think out of all the blokes we've talked about, I'm actually the warmest to trading out Shaw, which is surprising.
Yep, agreed.
Move on to trade-in options now, Mark. This first question is from Richie Younger. Is it worth bringing in a rookie this week that isn't playing because they have their bye? So Ryan, Beach, Brown are three players that he've noted as examples. I mean, if you don't need the score this week, I mean, I'm guessing that's the only reason you do it. Would you consider it, Mark?
Absolutely. I think it's a smart thing to be doing. Probably particularly with Ryan, who scored 80 plus on the weekend, had huge reps coming into it, mature age, and has played his second game. So that, I think Ryan is the perfect candidate to be doing that with. And if you're trading, say, a David Myers to him or something, you're not actually losing a player on field this week, and you can fund maybe an upgrade in another area. Beach and Brown, I mean, they're the sort of risks that people take around the buys, but they can definitely backfire pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think Ryan would be the only one that I'd be willing to take a little bit earlier. You flagged him for a little while now, Mark, and I agree with the strategy that says, you know, given the choice between going to a 19th player on field this week, which isn't a true upgrade if you're bringing in a rookie, really. If the decision is between bringing in a player that you're confident is going to play the next 10 rounds and getting one less score this week versus bringing in a player that might score 60 or 70 this week, and then who knows whether the hell they're going to play for the remaining, it's like it's a fair no-brainer. And I think this is something that like we've fallen into the trap of a lot in the past, but we've been burnt enough times that it seems pretty obvious to us now, Mark.
Yes.
All right, this next question is from Emily on Facebook. Is Dusty a must-have?
I don't have him, so no.
Yeah, I'm on a no at the moment too, but to be honest, I had Bont and Sloan over Martin for most of the season so far. I think if I were to trade in a premium right now, I'd pick Martin over the two of them for the remainder of the season.
That's interesting, just because Bont's so cheap. But if I'm picking who I think is going to be scoring the highest for the rest of the year out of those three, Martin for sure. And he, look, it was a bit of jest at the start because he actually scares the shit out of me not having him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Bont probably has fallen out of that slightly, but he could prove us wrong with a strong run home. And he's definitely, I mean, if you're considering a player, I mean, even though his break-even's high-ish, it's only 128. He's down at 525. He also presents pretty good value this week. I'd be fairly keen to recommend people trading him in just because he finishes off strongly. And even though he's had, you know, three poor games in a row, like poor for him is, you know, in the 80s, which is all right. And he doesn't need a lot of it to really break a game apart. So even though he hasn't worked out week one, Mark, I'm also, you know, similarly nervous about not having Bont. I think anyone that's asking about Bont in relation to trading him out is probably insane.
Yeah, I agree with that because you're not even getting any value anyway, and he's already had his bye. The concern that I've mentioned on the show previous times is that he's playing way too much forward, not really playing as a genuine midfielder, but I think we saw a little bit more of that against the Swans, and as we get into the end of the season, I think that they'll be wanting to run Bont through the midfield going into the finals. So I know people were a bit surprised that he scored so well on the weekend, but he was also a bit unlucky that he gave away two free kicks in the first like 3 minutes of the game, and it's going to be hard for him to post a good score from there.
All right, on to the next question here, and we're moving into the forward line. John Mundy-Hines is asking about upgrade options for Hosking. And we've had a few different questions about forward targets, but they predominantly revolve around three players who William Taylor has actually asked us about: Heaney, Yeo, or Lynch. Like to get your thoughts on the comparison there, Mark.
Yeah, so I have two of those guys. I have Yeo and Heaney, and passed on Lynch this week. Probably could have brought him in. For me, I think that, look, Yeo probably has the highest upside. He's probably the one that I think is probably the most important to have this year, just because, like, if he does go on a run like he did earlier in the year, he's posting, like, really big hundreds and doing it reasonably consistently. So, yeah, happy to have him in my team. Probably have Heaney second, just because, like, did you watch the game on the weekend against the Doggies? That first quarter, he was unbelievable. He's going to be a serious, serious player in a couple of years if he's not there already, once he builds that tank a little bit. And Lynch probably in third, but I still don't think he's a bad pick. You get a bit of value there. And, I mean, he was someone that I just considered pretty strongly at the start of the year as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Lynch definitely last. I think the fact that Yeo has come down in price a little bit because of a 71 in round 9 makes the decision between Yeo and Heaney a little bit closer. I think it was interesting to see that Yeo was actually leading the coaches' votes for quite a few rounds there. So it's not just, you know, super coach points that he's racking up. He's actually having serious influence within a game, and serious influence that's rated by coaches as well, which includes, you know, the non-measurables, the one percenters, and that attitude and that sort of thing. So yeah, Yeo be hard to pass up for the number one spot, considering he's only 15K more than Heaney. In terms of long-term career trajectory, like, Heaney will smash Yeo in one or two seasons, I would have thought. I think he, when you watch him attack the contest, I don't think you'd have any doubts about his selection. I was a little bit concerned about, you know, the fact that he was complaining about being a little bit of fatigued after games, having come back from glandular fever. But his attack on the ball and his physicality and his attributes and the fact that he gets midfield time has me more confident in him than Lynch, who at the end of the day is still a key position forward. So I go Yeo, Heaney, Lynch as my 1-2-3. All right, last question in the trade-in targets. This one's from Lockie, or at LockieRyan99 on Twitter. Should we go a week early on Jake Lloyd or wait for him to bottom out? So we've already sort of touched on this lightly, Mark. So you talked about trading Lloyd in a little bit early this week. So I guess I'm in this situation, Mark, where I could trade Lloyd in this week. It doesn't look like I will likely use all three of my trades. But at the same time, I'm not in a rush to do it either. And because we're only playing best 18 to a degree, like, you know, it's not like I'm getting a full premium. I'm only getting the difference between a premium and a rookie. I kind of feel like I'm more tempted to hold off on 60 points for another 40K.
Yep. I probably am looking to wait a week to upgrade my last defensive spot as well, despite the temptation to just go a week early.
Yeah, okay. So if you can wait on Laird, I'm guessing you should definitely wait on Lloyd then.
Yeah, and the tricky part is that I almost need to wait an extra week on Laird just to get the right break even from him.
Yeah, I think not rushing to complete your team is probably fair, because I mean, all you need is one rookie to cover Lloyd. And if you've still got a Newman or a Stewart type, you might be able to do some loopholing to help mitigate that week as well. So,
And I think a little bit of this will depend on whether you're going for overall result or leagues, where if you're in a really good position in your leagues, you're sitting top four and you're not desperate to be posting wins. I think that just delaying a little bit can mean you have a bit more cash generation and you end up getting the players that are going to be in the right form at the right time at the end of the year.
Yeah. All right, Mark, I think that's it for this week's show. Let's go through a quick captain's corner and then we will wrap it up. Who are you looking at this week, mate?
Should be pretty easy this week, shouldn't it? Danger?
Yeah. Danger first, into?
Don't need a backup.
Don't need a backup. You've got Lynch against Carlton. I'd be tempted, but you'd be a bit more confident.
Very risky, sir.
Yeah, you'd be a bit more confident with a vice captaincy, but you'd think he'd do all right against Carlton.
Even Dusty against the Swans, maybe, although they have said in the paper today they're going to be sending George Hewitt to him.
Yep.
Really wish I could take Selwood as my vice-captain, but that doesn't really work, does it?
No.
Yeah, there's not much there, mate. Doherty versus the Suns, maybe.
Hmm. Actually, Doherty against, yeah. Let's just hope we don't have to take the captaincy option too seriously this week. And I think if you do end up having to choose between the options we talked about, feels like a bit of a throw of the darts anyway, Mark. I don't think there's anyone I'm leaning toward particularly.
I can see myself with the captaincy on Bont and really sweating that on Sunday afternoon.
Well, he's had a quiet month, so Bont has something to prove. That might be all right. All right, Mark, that's it for this week's show. It's a little bit of a shorter one, but, I mean, it's the last round of the buys now, and there's only four teams coming off the buys. So in terms of trade-in options, it should be fairly obvious. But more than that, a lot of people have picked heavily out of round 12 in order to load up on the round 12 buy players. So there's not a huge opportunity to trade in round 12 buy premiums anyway, because you likely have the ones that you want. So all the best for the last round of the buys, and hopefully we still have the 11 of the top leagues after this round, Mark.
That would probably be pretty unlikely, I'd say. I think that might be an anomaly, even despite our level of dominance. Yeah, hopefully I can close down a bit of that 350-point gap that you've got on me at the moment.
I think this week will be about protecting that gap between you and I, Mark, so I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Let's close it down in 1 week.
No thanks. All right, we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.